This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Hello and welcome to Random Movie Generator with myself, David Earle, and David Edwards.
Absolutely happy to be here as always to have some cinematic communication, interaction.
Lovely to see you every Saturday morning, you know that.
Same to you, this has now become my Saturday. It's like the when I used to go to church in my altar boy days. On the weekend, this has become like a holy moment for me, a pilgrimage each week.
I mean, you may joke, but I was thinking, bloody hell, if this stopped, what a strange experience it would be.
Oh, yeah, massively. Gosh, yeah, definitely. It's like I was thinking about we need to do like a proper Christmas podcast, because last time we did one, it was like, well, you know, we started this podcast type of thing, we should do one. But I mean, this is like a proper year anniversary, isn't it?
Well, we're a top 50 TV and movie review podcast.
Good. Top 50, that sounds good. That really does.
Doesn't it? Do you know there are 3 million TV and movie podcasts in the country, and we're top 50?
How many did you say, 3 million?
No, I made it up.
I was going to say, flippity skip. I can't quite believe we're in the top 50. That must be some kind of algorithm quirk or something, because there's
some... Why won't you just go, accept people want to listen to you?
Absolutely, they want to give me their earbuds
for like butt.
Apps, and I'm happy to, you know, to give it to them on a cracker or a, you know, a slice of bread or whatever, slice it on for them. That metaphor doesn't work, but there you go.
Welcome everybody, and welcome to everybody who's watching in YouTube. Sorry we're a bit late, we've had some Wi-Fi issues, but we're here now, and we're ready to talk movies.
Apps. Ready to interact and put the latest movie gossip and information into your frontal lobes, into your brain.
David, I get excited by this. You went to the cinema last night.
Absolutely.
Was the first part a pleasurable experience, as in getting there, buying the food and sitting down?
That was fine. That was your usual kind of...
run of the mill.
Sort of routine type of thing. I mean, you know, the main thing is, you know, what Hollywood has exported from the USA and brought to the British Isles for us to check out type of thing.
Okay. Did you have a milkshake? You can't. Can you take milkshakes in the cinema?
No, I didn't have a milkshake. I'll tell you what I did have. I had the latest Tango drink, which is called a Paradise Punch. And I know for a fact that I love it, but I don't think you'd be a fan. I think it's too much like 10-year-olds, extra, extra sweet taste buds. But I absolutely loved it.
Seems like the sort of drink that would attract wasps.
Definitely. On a 70s or 80s style picnic with a family during some holidays.
I like the idea of a swarm of wasps coming into the cinema.
Darkly, I was thinking to myself, this would go perfectly with a bit of gin. Or a bit of vodka and slowly get slushed. Gin's not bad because as long as you keep it to a certain extent, the hangover is not that bad. If you cross the line, it's horrific. But once you're into your 40s, even if you're not going to get a hangover, any drink I find disrupts your sleep. So you're always a bit worse for wear the next morning.
I only got into gin in the last couple of years.
Oh, really?
And I think it's superb. Don't have much of it.
Absolutely. Cucumber gin, which sounds incredibly boring, but that's got a lovely kiss at the end of every gulp. That really has. A nice allotment cucumber little zest at the end of each sip.
A lot.
A lot. Not a lot. A lot. A lot.
Oh, there's my wife with my garden strimmer.
Oh, blimey. I thought you were going to say your latte, but garden strimmer, that's equally as impressive to own a garden strimmer.
Yeah, I got really into gin 2 summers ago.
Oh, yeah, it's great in summer, yeah.
Yeah, I got tummy problems.
Oh, does it help tummy problems, gin?
Well, I think I was having too much tonic.
Right, okay, yes, you can have that, definitely.
Yeah.
Or you do like a bit of the old red wine, and that can create a bit of a sort of a witch's cauldron in the old stomach department.
So you had a Tango Paradise. Was it up to...
Oh,
were yeah. Were you impressed?
Very impressed. I actually leaned over to Ryan at one point and said, "That's blooming nice." And I could tell he wasn't impressed that I was cutting into his like movie time with like Tango reviews. He was quite polite. He smiled, but you could tell the eyes
were
engaging.
You said it during the film?
During the trailers, in the middle of a Napoleon trailer, the new Ridley Scott film. So I was quite... I'm looking forward to that movie, so, you know.
I like how you couldn't focus on the trailer.
I was like, ooh, yeah, I like this.
Oh, is it a big bottle?
Quite a large bottle, about 500 millilitres.
Right.
God, that was quite exact, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a shame I can't remember other information, like actors' names or film directors, considering this is a film podcast, but I can tell the exact millilitres of a Tango bottle.
Did you have to eat with it?
Yeah, it was a funny old one. It was where... It was a case of during the actual cinema experience, I was like, I'm beating the system type of thing doing this. This is really impressive. But then when I got in the shower this morning, I was like, you don't want to be doing that when you're 45.
So oh, what'd you do?
Conflicted. It was nothing illegal. Don't worry, people. It's a long film. I saw The Killer of the Flower Moon.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, the new Scorsese film.
Killer of the Flower Moon. Okay, this might be a slightly different episode because I'd definitely like to hear a long review of this.
Happy to do so, sir. Oh, happy to, God,
I
got
didn't
realise. Oh, yeah, Killer of the Flower Moon, absolutely.
Right, go on, what were you going to say? Go on.
And we knew it was going to be a long film because it's like 3 hours and 27 minutes. It's a long, long movie. And we've been thinking about this idea for a while whilst in Tesco's. And when we came up with it, we thought, oh, well, this is genius. I mean, I don't know why no one's actually thought this idea out, but... Looking back at it when doing it and physically, basically, it wasn't that incredible. It was the idea that you could buy some really nice hot dog buns for £1.20 and then a large tin of, what's the name of the sausages? Frankfurters. And then ketchup, and then you can just have a massive hot dog banquet of like endless hot dogs. Just like sit there just eating hot dogs, just watching cinema. And you can do it for like £2.50 for both of us sharing the hot dogs and the actual buns. Really nice buns. They've already been cut in the centre so you can slice them in. And then a nice bottle of ketchup. And you can just, instead of having the Cineworld hot dogs, and they're big, plump, very large. We brought a can opener with us. And we just sat there eating hot dogs together for £2.30 or £40.
Yeah. Fucking hell. So much was going on in that sentence.
And then I looked back at it in the shower this morning. I just thought, there's just something a bit odd about that.
Flipping hell. Are those sausages that are sort of wet and floppy when they come out of the...
They are, but... I mean, I thought they were absolutely fine. They were really, really nice.
How many buns did you have on you?
I've still got some there in the fridge. I don't know what the maths was. It was quite a few. I reckon we had five each.
I fucking love the idea of sitting next to you or near you, not knowing you, and just you keep making hot dogs.
I know, it was quite a quite a treat.
Wow. So were you sort of, you weren't buttering them or anything?
No, no, we weren't buttering
you
them.
You had a bottle of tomato sauce with you. Ketchup.
Yes, and it's
so you were sort of making them. Would you make them for Ryan? And
oh no, we just made them for ourselves. We kept it individual because Ryan's got a bit of a thing. He doesn't like sharing food.
Nor do you.
No, I suppose I don't. But he's got a real thing about it, whereby everything needs to be halved in a kind of very definite manner.
I must admit, I'm a bit like that. I
can empathise with it. I can completely relate. It's like, yeah, don't worry about that, mate. I 100% understand what you're saying there.
Did you have any sort of sweeties after as a dessert?
No, God, no. The hot dogs completely destroyed us. 100%.
Right.
I mean, they're very big buns, and they were very large Savoy, sausages type of thing. Right. There are five of them. And I mean, if you stack five of those up, that's your intestines. Do you know what I mean? That's your whole shebang.
It's amazing what the body can take, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, if you've got willpower and focus. Definitely, 100%. And the bread was really nice. I think next time...
I love how every week you go for something a little bit different. You're not just, we do that, I have that, and I have that, I have popcorn and that. It's always something, it's pears, it's hot dogs, it's...
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? It's a case of, I think we'll do it again, maybe, but there's part of me that didn't feel very dignified the next morning. I was just thinking, what's that about? Two middle-aged men making hot dogs in the dark.
And cold.
That didn't bother me, bizarrely, but clearly it should do. He didn't mind it. Ryan didn't mind it. And he's a lot more normal with his eating than me.
Right.
He's more like the common sense element, which is like, Dave, do you want to do this because of A, B, and C? And I see it through his eyes, and suddenly there's an element of clarity involved.
Roy says here, how Scorsese meant it to be watched.
Absolutely. But, you know, we just... destroyed ourselves on hot dogs for £2.50, and I would have had to have paid like £8 for one hot dog in Cineworld.
What's better going down though, Cineworld's or yours?
I'd definitely say mine, because what they do now with hot dogs is they give you no actual toppings. It's all like chemically put into the sausage. So they say it's honey, mustard and cheese. Where's my honey, mustard and cheese? It's in the sausage, apparently, like I'm an astronaut and I'm putting it in my mouth like a pill. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, how commodified is that?
It's annoying.
You want to have the actual sloppy liquid, you know, on top of it.
Yeah.
So I'd definitely say that.
But, front row?
Absolutely front row, because we had to lay the hot dogs out. So there's more reasons than just keeping the audience.
What do you mean you laid them out? What, on the floor?
No, not to that degree. Oh, but I mean, you've got like a bag of buns and the ketchup and the tin and stuff.
Do you have to get to the cinema early to get your front row seat? Or does no one want it?
No one wants it.
Oh, that's interesting.
So no one wants that.
They're the last to go, and you're like, I can give a shit. That's the one I want.
Oh, absolutely. 100%, yeah. Last to go. Well, I think some people it'd be a case of I wouldn't even bother watching the film if it's that front up. But I just find the audience so loud at times.
Yeah. What do you mean? What, talking?
Talking, but definitely the eating with the popcorn is just insane. I've said to Ryan a few times, you know, can you hear that? And he like sort of shakes his head. Because I think...
What do you mean?
Massively. You just have to go with it now. It's just part of cinema etiquette. You just got to go with it. And if it's a film that has massive silent moments, like Flower of the Killer Moon, it really is a case of you just hear it. It's just like crunch, 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 crunch,
crunch, crunch, crunch, crunch, crunch. Yeah.
It depends. It's all psychological, because when it's a family CGI film, it's like you go with it because it's understandable. Do you know what I mean? You're surrounded by kids. But when it's an adult's movie, you just think, come on, pull your bloody socks up.
says Mr. 10 Hot Dogs.
I know. But at least hot dogs are a bit more silent in their kind of... masticating, I think that's the word.
Yeah, yeah. David, I don't think I've enjoyed an episode as much as the last 7 minutes. Do you know why? The hot dogs took me by surprise.
Absolutely.
And the film we're about to review is tantalising. And, I don't want to rush the review. So if we only just do the review and then we do Rat Mandy's review, then fine. Because I really want to know. Was it busy?
Are you a massive Scorsese fan then, or...?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm excited.
So I'm quite interested in... No, it's fair enough, the marketing as well.
Can we name his films, see if I've actually watched them?
Well, you've got... he started off, his big hit was Mean Streets. That's the first thing that got him on the streets. On the street, you know, on the kind of map. You've then got... he then did a few small indie films after that that did quite well, but then the big one after that was Taxi Driver. Then, I'm only talking about his big landmark films here.
Yeah.
But he then, it all went to his head. He started taking way too much cocaine. And he did the film The Jazz Singer, which
what,
is about...
with Diamond? Neil Diamond?
I don't think Neil Diamond's in The Jazz Singer. Have a look on...
The Jazz Singer?
The Jazz Singer. No, no, I don't think that is. It starred Robert De Niro as a saxophone player.
Jazz Singer's Neil Diamond, isn't it? Am I going mad?
Well, I mean, was Robert De Niro in The Jazz Singer that you watched?
Neil Diamond?
He's in it, is he?
Directed by Richard Fleischer.
Oh, no, that's a different film completely.
KB says not The Jazz Singer.
Because, I mean, there's loads of jazz singers. Because also there's a 20s one, which was the first ever sound movie, wasn't it, that Warner Brothers produced. So I think The Jazz Singer has been...
done a film called The Jazz Singer.
Who has, sorry?
Scorsese.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's a classic film. It was a massive bomb. It was very ambitious.
I've never heard of it.
And he had loads of power at that point, and he was highly high on cocaine. And... narratively, it's poorly structured. There's some great music sequences, but it didn't do at all well at the box office. And it marked very much the end of the auteur period of the 70s, where the director had loads of creative power and instead was ushered in blockbusters in the 80s.
It's called New York, New York.
God, what a nightmare.
Fucking hell, The Jazz Singer is Neil Diamond.
Oh, I apologise. Sorry, it's called New York, New York. What a disaster. Apologies, people.
Flipping hell. I don't even watch movies.
What a disaster that is. Apologies.
I've never heard of New York, New York.
New York, New York. Robert De Niro. It's all about the swinging jazz period in the turn of the century. And it marked him whereby he kind of lost his way creatively.
Is it that bad?
Well, it's not terrible. The music sequences are very impressive. De Niro's good.
I've never heard of this. De Niro's in it.
Yes, but it goes on too long. It overstays its welcome. Narrative-wise, the pacing isn't great. You can tell it's a man who's being overly ambitious, that's high on cocaine. Then he got his mojo back after going into rehab, and he did Raging Bull with De Niro. And then
do you know what? I used to watch Scorsese movies when I was about 18, 19 to kind of go, I watched a Scorsese movie last night.
Oh, God, yeah. Definitely, he's definitely got that. Oh, massively.
Have you seen Raging Bull? No, what's that? Have you not seen Raging Bull? Oh, right. Maybe a bit like that.
It's kind of art house cinema that the mainstream audience can embrace. And also, it's all about masculinity and crisis, so it's all very relatable, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? For like a young male audience. I would say after Raging Bull, the other one that was really important is definitely Goodfellas. And I'd say that's the one that totally cemented him being not just a big up and coming director, but iconic. That was like the second phase of his career where it's like, yeah, this guy is really quite important. He's a part of like American history cinema now. You know, he's not just like a new kid on the, he's not a William Friedkin who did Exorcist and French Connection and then just faded away. He's not going to be a De Palma. He seems to be very consistent in his output. And then after that, there was Casino.
Can I run through his films?
Absolutely. David? Please do.
Or I'm going to pick, not all of them. Mean Streets, Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, The King of Comedy, The Colour of Money, Last Temptation of Christ, Goodfellas, Cape Fear, Casino, Gangs of New York, The Aviator, The Departed, Shutter Island, The Wolf, Wall Street, The Irishman, Killers of the Flower Moon.
I tell you what is interesting with his latest interview is that people attacked King of Comedy so much, so badly, that he considered just leaving the industry. He thought it was the end of his career. And I recently read the King of Comedy script only this week, and it's a great film. Absolutely amazing. But he was so mocked for it. Unbelievable.
King of Comedy?
Oh, massively. Apparently, even talk shows would use it as like the, they pick something, don't they? And they constantly use it as like, well, Alicia didn't direct the King of Comedy. You know, they lost a lot of money, but not as much as the King of Comedy. And the whole of The Joker was based around the King of Comedy, isn't it? But the script also, which Scorsese didn't write, but very much, you know, influenced and directed and, you know, talked about the drafts, is incredibly good. Really good script to sit down and read.
I mean, he's let's just say he's got some absolute humdingers behind him.
Oh, Goodfellas is just so, the way it's edited and put together. Yeah, Cape Fear is really interesting because originally Spielberg was going to direct Cape Fear and Scorsese was going to direct Schindler's List. And they had a conversation and they literally decided to swap.
I love that bit of info, David.
Yeah, they literally
people
just decided
to
swap.
People will be listening to this pod going, I beg your pardon, I didn't know that. Martin, yeah, I'm listening to this podcast. What podcast? It's called Random Movie Generator, and the one of the presenters just told me that they're going to absolutely love that.
That's what I'm hoping. That's why I'm on this planet, to share the news.
Yesterday, David, when you left work, were you very excited about watching this movie?
Yes and no. It's got to be said, I like Scorsese, don't get me wrong. I prefer his earlier De Niro films to his DiCaprio films. So with DiCaprio, obviously, you've got Wolf of Wall Street, which is really good. Aviator. Dear God. Aviator was utterly
David,
good.
Sorry, David. You'd like to hear this. David, something else in the chat says, David's info nuggets are world class.
Thank you, sir. From
info
David,
nugget.
Something else.
Oh, do you know what? I might try and remember that in each episode. Just say, have you got an info nugget in your
pocket? I hope I can come up with that. Like Google Bard or ChatGPT. Apparently ChatGPT, if it hasn't got an info nugget for you, it has what they call a hallucination and it'll just come up with something. And it came up with a bizarre hallucination for me when I was asking questions about Jurassic Park, because you can get ChatGPT, you can interview people. So I sometimes go on there and I have conversations with Steven Spielberg, which is a bit bizarre. And it
beg your pardon?
You can have conversations with like famous people on ChatGPT and ask them about their career, and they'll give you information.
You do that?
Only if, not consistently, all the time.
When you're having some gin.
Absolutely, with my Tango Punch Paradise, my cucumber gin and Tango Paradise. And it went into a bizarre route where it started hallucinating that Spielberg and Richard Dreyfuss had an argument and a fight on set. And you could tell, first of all, Richard Dreyfuss was never in Jurassic Park. But AI does go into bizarre hallucinogenic kind of hallucinations, they call it. But I've really gone off topic there. I apologise.
Well, okay, so you weren't particularly excited by this movie. I thought you would be.
Basically, I've not heard one bad review for the movie. So number one, fantastic. I would say I preferred Scorsese's earlier stuff than the more modern the Caprio stuff isn't poor that he's done with Scorsese. Dear God, it's very good. I really enjoyed Shutter Island and things like that.
I turned it off.
Well, there you go. I'd never say it's quite up to that same kind of level. It felt as though I might be going to have my vegetables. In the sense that, you know, it's going to be the Oscar movie.
Was The Irishman a vegetable movie?
No, it wasn't, in actual fact. It was a case of, I thought Al Pacino was hilarious in it. I thought the de-aging wasn't amazing. The third act was really good, whereby it wasn't just a crazy Goodfellas.
Don't tell me, because I think I wouldn't mind watching it.
It's got a really interesting twist.
Should I watch it, The Irishman?
Yes, I would definitely watch it, 100%. Yeah, 100%. The only thing that annoys me with these films is that I would have liked to have seen it in the cinema, just not on Netflix. It's like David Fincher's The Killer. That's having a very small theatrical release late October, and then it's on Netflix early November. And David Fincher painstakingly works on his blocking, his mise-en-scene, to a man who's got severe OCD. And then it's just going to go on Netflix. I don't know why David Fincher would bother making a film. I guess it's just the budget. It's the only people who are going to make it. But people are going to be watching a David Fincher film on a mobile phone. And it's not me just being a silly
ass. Eating hot dogs.
Yeah, eating hot dogs. You're quite right, for £2.50. Saying that's giving the middle finger to the man. But then a part of you thinking, no, this isn't good. Just buy a normal hot dog.
Yeah. Okay. Was it busy?
Not as busy as Oppenheimer, because I think that's a good test.
That's Oppenheimer, your bar, isn't it?
It Oppenheimer. Is a bar. Not because I was a massive Oppenheimer fan. I thought it was okay. I perhaps wasn't as warm to it as others, but I thought it was good. And I'm not consistently amazed by Chris Nolan, but it's your 3-hour adult drama during a period where cinema is in a very risky position, whereby if it's not a high concept horror or a superhero film, it hasn't got like a specific blockbuster unique selling point, it's not going to do well.
So how do you feel going into, or how did you feel going into this movie, Scorsese movie, knowing that it's 3 hours 20? How did you feel in your gut? Did you think this is a proper vegetable soup film and I might get bored halfway through?
No, I was more of a case of just settle into it like a warm bath. Just settle into it and you'll be fine. It's not a sprint. You know, it's a nice, luxurious marathon. You'll be absolutely fine. Because Oppenheimer, as much as I had some criticisms towards it, the third act I found a bit slow of Oppenheimer, but it didn't feel that long. The third act... Because once the bomb goes off, you feel as though the kind of the thriller aspect of it's no longer there. It's more about the communist aspect. It's more of a court case, and it changes gear. So I had that criticism.
This is a Scorsese review, section.
Absolutely. So I think I was open-minded. It was more like, you know, just have an adult attitude. I'm sure they'll keep you engaged.
Okay. Okay, so... I mean, how long have we done? I'm just trying to work out the... We've done a half hour. Flipping hell. Flippity skip, in the words of you.
God, that went quick, didn't that? Time is very... it's
precious.
And temperament, you know, it's very... What is it? Subjective.
I think I worked out I've got about 3,000 hours left.
Flipping heck. Deary me, that's quite horrific. That's you can get yourself right. If it's 3,000, when are you planning to die then?
100 days.
I was going to say
3,000. I've got about 3,000 days left.
You can get a death watch, can't you? Whereby you actually look at your wrist and you can see it clocking down. They're very popular in Germany for some reason. Oh, have you? There you go.
No.
Courtesy
no.
of Apple.
Right. Right. Review it. The stage is yours, Mr. Edwards. Flowers of the Killer Moon.
I would say...
what's it about?
Okay, so first of all, it is about... it's after the First World War. Leonardo DiCaprio turns up fresh from the trenches. He was a chef in the First World War. And one very good thing about the film is DiCaprio plays a very different type of character than he's played before. He's slightly dim-witted. He's not Forrest Gump, but he's not the sharpest tool in the box, and he's easily manipulated by the people around him. You know, you can tell he was a grunt in the army. and he's easily kind of molded and directed by the people around him, primarily his uncle, who he goes to live with after the war, who's Robert De Niro, who's a big landowner in this part of America. And within this American community, the Native Americans have hit upon oil on their land and have now become millionaires. And suddenly the whole class system's turned upside down, whereby you've got white men pleading indigenous American, American Indians, as they're wandering to the town, asking them for like money, donations, things in that vein. And Robert De Niro's character, who likes to be called the King, which gives you an insight into his kind of psyche, is wanting to marry off people from his white community with the indigenous tribes to try and slowly get some of that money back into their families and communities. You know, basically mixed blood races in a way. But at the same time, there's continual murders taking place in the community of Native Americans. So there seems to be some kind of conspiracy. Is the white man trying to get its money back?
Mm. Well, that's hooked me in, just that.
And DiCaprio...
beautifully explained, may I say.
Which is not like me, it's got to be said.
No,
so
beautifully.
Good storytelling.
Were you pleased with that? It felt...
I think so, yeah. Maybe I didn't overthink it.
No,
I was just in the flow.
Nailed it.
It was a Michael Jordan moment. Basketball in hand.
Yeah.
1 minute on the clock.
Okay, well, I might take this moment to... Shall we have a little listen?
Mm, please do.
To Flowers of the Killer Moon.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll leave it to you. I don't know where to take it from here. I'll leave it to you. What next?
Well, I'd say definitely the positives are it has the energy, the cinematography and the editing of, like, I would say a 30-year-old film director, someone who, you know, because you've got to remember, Scorsese's now 81. It's quite incredible. A lot of these directors, it's like Ridley Scott, who's got the Napoleon epic coming out in November, also financed by Apple. It's interesting that, you know, all these big director films are financed by these big Silicon Valley computer companies now. He's also 80. He's in his early 80s. It's just like, these are sprawling epics. I don't know how they manage. I mean, I have mornings where I literally can't start my car, and I'm not using that in a sarcastic manner. Do you know what I mean? It's like, sometimes it takes me four times to park my car.
And what do you mean?
Just to get it lined up, make sure it's properly, you know, it's not OCD. It's just like, you know, well, you can't leave it like that, Dave. Someone's going to scratch into it, you know.
Well, and you're comparing that to making a...
Well, definitely, because making a film is right brain, left brain.
I was just thinking that. I was thinking about being in the edit and creating a 3.5-hour story. How the hell do you get that right?
Thing is, more and more, I know a lot of people who have worked in special effects companies, and they do say that directors like Tim Burton, they say the reason why they've kind of become more and more commercial and they've dropped the ball more and more is they have less and less really to do with many of the elements of the film. You know, they
God, I thought you said Nelly the Elephant.
Well, Dumbo, there you go. I mean,
what
is
did
Nelly
you say?
Elephant.
Many of the Elephant.
What did I say then?
Many of the elements.
Nelly the Elephant gets involved, which is like his sidekick.
Many of the Elephants, Nelly the Elephant. Many of the Elephants. Many of the Elements, Nelly the Elephant. Many of the Elements, Nelly the Elephant.
Absolutely. They do work hand in hand. If you say it quick enough, Nelly the Elephant comes up. Many
how
of the
does
Elements.
Nelly the Elephant go? Nelly the Elephant packed a trunk and said goodbye to the circus. Off she went with a trumpety trump. Nelly the Elephant packed a trunk and went back to the circus. Off she went with a trumpety trump. Many of the Elements packed a trunk. Many of the
Elements packed the trunk. I'm really struggling here, but I'm keeping on board. I'm having real cognitive dissonance, I think psychiatrists call it at this point.
Before
such a
I
gear
forget,
change.
David,
absolutely amazing, but I'm going to go with it. Like any keen improviser.
So I got a private message on Patreon.
Wowzers.
Mr. L, this is from Anthony Allen. Can you please tell David Edwards that he makes me so furious when he talks about CGI and calling it special effects?
It's visual effects. Special effects is what's done in production on set. He has made me so angry this morning whilst listening to the show and ruined my favourite part of the day when I get to listen to your podcast with a bowl of ready bet. Furious.
Well, it's lovely to know there's a positive in there that we are part of his ready bet treat. Yeah. And he is quite right. Special effects is done on set. It's visual effects in post-production. And I take... What's this man's name?
Anthony Allen.
Anthony Allen, I apologise. I am on one knee like a knight in front of his king. You are quite right. It's visual effects. It's a valid point. Does he work in the industry?
DPP said, get over it, Anthony.
But Anthony sounds like an interesting chap.
Well, if David, you can leave something some else YouTube said, well comments. Said, Anthony.
Oh, that's soured things about everyone getting on the Anthony bandwagon. That's just a very small taste of what it feels like to be cancelled. I've been a dark room right now. Can you imagine when you've got 200 Anthonys? It's visual effects, you bloody idiot.
20,000 Anthonys after every one of you.
Shouting at me, visual effects, visual effects. Some old woman in the middle of Tesco spits at me and says, it's called visual
Don't
effects.
Don't bring old women into
Quite
it.
Quite right, absolutely. As Jarvis Kafka said, help the aged. That's what we need to do.
Right, David. Can I just ask you a couple of questions regarding the film? Are there any set pieces or scenes that are, what's the word, thrilling or just...
Well, I mean, the opening image is, I thought to myself, God, this feels like a really young filmmaker, and this won't ruin it, describing this image, but there's this amazing slow-mo shot with, like, kind of rock music, but it's not a specific band, because, I mean, Scorsese is well known for his needle drops, isn't he, using, like, classic rock music, like Eric Clapton, things like that. So you've got, like, a star, because it's a period piece, but it's sort of rock music-esque, and you've got silhouetted Indians in slow-mo dancing and all this oil that's going to enter them into capitalism. It feels like Woodstock, which obviously he helped edit. He did the Woodstock movie.
Okay.
Which is interesting. But I mean,
are there any moments in the film where you go, I tell you what, 1.5 hours in, there's this section 10 minutes long that will blow your knickers off?
The thing is, I don't want to spoil it for people, but there's great moments between DiCaprio and De Niro where their just performances are incredibly engaging. They're just very, very watchable. And DiCaprio is very much playing a different type of character that we haven't seen before. Because like Wolf of Wall Street, there are times where he's just playing DiCaprio, the movie star. Do you know what I mean? Films like that. And definitely he's playing a different, he's inhabiting a character. You know, the way he pulls his face, his mouth. It's very, very impressive. It's very, very engaging. And the female actresses in this are also incredibly good. It's just very annoying, and I do apologise. I've forgotten the name of the actress who plays the native Indian who he has a relationship with. She's incredibly good. Very silent, quiet and still, but gives over a real clear sense of personality and self. The acting is definitely Oscar level. It's something grave, her name. Sorry.
From what I know of you, I feel like you're trying to find parts of the film that are positive, and deep down, you're slightly disappointed.
You worked me out. You have worked me out there, Captain. Full stop. The problem I have with the film, no one has had a problem with.
What is it?
Every review, if you go on YouTube, every review says the same thing. It's 3.5 hours. I didn't notice it. I didn't fill the 3.5 hours, and it needed those 3.5 hours. But unfortunately, I found it just too laboured and too stretched out, and I really felt those 3.5 hours. It felt to me like a Netflix miniseries, but unlike a Netflix miniseries that would have subplots and you'd go off with the FBI characters, you would spend perhaps more time with De Niro in his home. This is one single linear narrative, very much from DiCaprio's journey. And it's just like... And it's a very good writer. It's Eric Roth who wrote it. He wrote things like Forrest Gump and Dune. So this is an A-class group of people. But that 3.5 hours... For instance, when the Indians start coming together and realise there's a potential conspiracy that white men are killing them off one by one, that's like an hour into the film. And I sat there thinking, this should have been introduced as the next significant narrative beat 20 minutes in. But at the same time, you really do feel immersed within the historical setting. This is how people lived during the era, which is fascinating. You know, you really do feel one with the era and the mise-en-scene, the setting, all those different aspects. But those crucial landmark narrative beats, like a rat being given a new bit of cheese every time it turns a corner in a maze, they're very seldom. But if the performances weren't so good, if it wasn't so interesting,
you were missing your lumps.
Shots,
you were missing your lumps of Stilton, weren't you?
I was literally missing my lumps of Stilton, but I'm the only one who's had that problem. The music's also very good. It's got a real foreboding boom, boom, boom. It reminds me of thin.
Bottom, boom, 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 boom. What did Ryan think?
He found it too long as well. Definitely found it too
long.
Listen,
find me a 3.5 hour movie that isn't too long. Sitting down on your Todd trying to concentrate for 3.5 hours is just impossible.
Well, the thing is, I found this more so. This should be, in my eyes, which aren't other people's, it should have been a 4-part Netflix miniseries. And it should have had subplots where you go off and join the other characters. That linear narrative that they've given you is more in keeping with a 2-hour movie, I'd say. But I don't think anyone has had that criticism. People have only just said this is an amazing film. He's 81 and he still hasn't lost his touch.
David, respect to you for sticking your head above everyone and going, hey, no, too long.
That's what I would say, that The Irishman didn't feel as long as this. It kept me engaged more. I mean, there's great moments.
This is now your time to tell us how many choco ices out of 5 you're going to give Flowers of the Killer Moon. I'm going to have a little guess, along with everyone else watching.
I have to say, which is very positive, is that he's been with the same editor since Mean Street's Thelma Schoolmaker. So she must be in her like mid-late 70s. He's 81. And it's edited together like, I don't know, like they're probably established directors, but at the beginning of their careers, like Damien Chazelle, who's done Whiplash and Babylon, you know, a real, that new energy. So to think that she's like in her 70s and she's still able to edit in such a fresh, contemporary way.
Maybe she should have cut more out.
This is true. I mean, don't get me wrong, it goes on way too long, but what is
there? Okay, so everyone, have you had your guess how many choc ices out of 5 David's going to give Flowers of the Killer Moon? Over to you, David.
Three. Wow.
Oh.
That's a very controversial number to give it, though. I mean, most people are giving it 5, so do not be deterred from going to your cinema and watching it, because I would say everyone has given this film 5, and it probably will be the Oscar movie.
Okay, can I go through the YouTube chat to see what people...
Have some people seen it? Have some...
No, some people have, I think, but KB gave it 3, Roy 2.5, Stinkbits guessed 3, Richard guessed 3.5, Zoe 3.5, Trickster 4, David something else said he'll bottle it and go for 3.5. He did not bottle it, he stuck with 3. Respect said David something else. Eubank said 3, Nicola Haddo said 3. Wow. I'm gutted, David. I was really hoping you were going to say
you might like it.
Yeah, but I was really hoping you'd go, without a shadow of a doubt, there's no argument to be had. It's fucking amazing.
I mean, you might not have a sort of J.J. Abrams OCD mind that just has to have, like, you know, explosions every 5 minutes. Has anyone in the YouTube channel seen the film?
Flipping hell, we've got to stop this soon. We haven't done any of the... Oh, no. Oh, has anyone seen it? Anyone seen it? I was going to watch it tomorrow at cinema. Should I still go, David?
Yes, absolutely. Everyone says it's good. This is only one man's view that you're getting, who was dealing with ketchup and hot dogs, and perhaps, you know...
Well, someone did say you were feeling uncomfortable with the amount of hot dogs you'd eaten.
Absolutely, because, I mean, I had 5, and that's your intestines, as I said earlier. Literally, I Googled it.
David Edwards is killing cinema receipts.
I really am. Horrific. Not helping the box office at all.
Justin Young said, I did. It was a 4.5 for me.
Dear me. Well, I take my hat off to you, Captain. A lot more. And also, the commentary is very impressive.
Ryan felt the same.
Yeah, we seem to have a bizarrely similar film taste, though, in the sense that, we seem to, I think the older I get, I'm quite specific about what ticks my box type of thing. I just felt the length was too much. It felt more like a mini series. But then again, no one has slagged it off. The chap who said he'd give it a 4.5, what did he enjoy?
I don't know, but we've got
absolutely, absolutely, 100%.
Thank you so much, David, for this week's. It's been wonderful. New movie review.
Thank you, captains of industry. Thank you.
David Edwards' movie review.
Right, we've got to do a really quick movie review of the random generated.
So, and we haven't even randomly generated a film yet, have we?
No, we've got to do that as well. We're so sorry, everyone. I mean, what have we done so far? We've done 50 minutes. I bet it needed it. It wanted it. It deserved it.
God, that went quickly, didn't it? Blimey, we're having fun.
Right, David. So what's the movie you're going to review this week?
Right, it's a Japanese family-friendly sci-fi film.
Oh, yeah.
CJ7. It's about a single father called Tai who works tirelessly to earn enough money to keep his son, Dickie, enrolled in a private school. Dickie studies diligently, but his threadbare clothing prompts him to be bullied by his friends. Tai finds a glowing ball in a junkyard, though, and it turns out to be an alien friend. So it's almost like... So his dad tirelessly works so his son can go to this fancy school. He doesn't bond with other kids. He's bullied. He's got exams coming up, but he comes across this alien. It's directed by Stephen Chow, who's a well-known Japanese film director, who's done a lot of action comedies. And I would say the opening act of the film definitely had potential.
David, I'm pretty sure someone wrote a message on Patreon just saying they couldn't wait to hear what you thought because they love the film.
Yeah, I thought... there was elements of merit within it, but I would say there was issues within it. I mean, the opening act had the potential for it to be like a Japanese take on E.T. And I thought, this is great. It had great messages about a sort of son and father bond and definite a sense of, that sense of bullying and nerves and anxieties within school was well captured.
You were dreading it.
I was. So in actual fact, it was nowhere near as bad as I thought. So it wasn't a complete disaster whatsoever.
When did when you started watching it, at what point did you go, oh, this is all right? How far in? When could you tell?
I think the father and son interaction was interesting. And also the cultural perspective is interesting as well. How you're seeing things through a Japanese lens, the idea of how important education is to them, their cultural values, their levels of respect to each other, their work ethic. So you're not just watching a film, you're looking at it from a different ideological kind of cultural perspective, which I think adds another layer of engagement when you're actually viewing it.
Let's have a little listen to what's it called again?
CJ7.
Let's have a little listen to CJ7.
Simply amazing. This incredible robot dog is CJ1. A special project. Fabulous. Dangerous. And one of the smartest toys in the whole wide world. You wanna play? Yeah! Get away, poor boy! There are only two of these wonderful dogs in the entire world. The other is found in the possession of the U.S. President's daughter. What is that?
My lunch!
I wanna see you stand up now! Listen, it doesn't matter how much you eat. You'll still be a drawer! Now get lost! I swear, the quality of these students in this place only gets worse every day. And look here, what do we got here? A monster or something? Hey, what are you doing?
Eating rice.
You're gonna eat yourself to death at that rice. You should go see a doctor. Look at all that food. Just not right. Someone call the police and tell them to come and shoot this giant beast. What are you guys doing?
Mm.
be hit. You're just bullies.
Just who do you think you are?
No one.
Get lost, poor boy. We don't want you around here.
Yeah, beat it. Get out of here. Poor boy.
How many sittings, David?
I would say I had 3 sittings.
Okay, that's... So what are we talking? Get up, make a coffee, get up, make some scones.
Yeah, absolutely. Simple as that. Crumpets. I'm more of a crumpet man. Not that I wish
do
to correct
you.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of the crumpet.
Oh, it's I love right. crumpets. With butter?
Oh, 100%.
What else? Sweet or savoury?
Dairy Lee triangles.
Oh.
I do like that on top of the old crumpet when it's hot and it melts in.
And did you have that watching CJ...
7 or 7. Are you going for a diet at the moment? Because you're very kind of food. I tell that I'm almost like ticking your boxes at the moment. I'm
you
like,
are.
I'm
really
a how do you food porn type of thing. I really am sort of like hooking you in a big.
You really are. I'm really excited. I think
that's what
I'm
that
not
wasn't
eating.
A criticism. That was not a criticism. It's out in retrospect. It's like right, Edwards. I'm what? Asking a question. I don't mean it as a criticism towards you. I felt as though maybe that was a bit
no,
too much.
No, I love knowing, because because I can't have crumpets without my arse expanding.
But they're not... are they crumpets then? I think they might be muffins I have. They're not crumpets. Because they're not... I don't think muffins are that bad. I think they're only like... I don't know. I didn't really look at the calories, but it might be like 100 or something like that for a muffin.
Yeah, but if I had a muffin, I'd eat 3.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think that'd be... If that's your lunch, if that's your meal, though, that's fine. It's, I guess, if you snack on them, that's the problem, maybe. I don't know.
I just like listening to... I like reading Famous Five when they have their little toast and jam.
Absolutely. But I think you can have toast.
I mean, that's half of Famous Five, isn't it? They're getting their picnic together.
When I mentioned it, I felt as though I was being critical. Not at all. If you write in food porn on TikTok, I think it will be an absolute, you know.
When I read Famous Five, Secret Seven, half of it is crime. Half of it is what are they having in their picnic? And that's how I treat this podcast.
Absolutely.
Half of it is film. Half of it is food.
And what food do they have on Famous Five that really ticks your box?
Like toast and jam, crumpets, and like orange juice. And
but what I'm saying to you is, Captain, is that you should get him on board the crumpet ship, because I don't think it's going to put any. It's not going to give you J-Lo thighs.
Yeah,
I think you can get involved.
I can't get on board the crumpet ship.
What do you have for lunch? Sorry. Too much. But what do you have?
What for lunch?
Yeah, because I feel as though I'm showing you a forbidden world.
You are.
Do you know what I mean? It's just sort of like... I'm more than happy, though, to usher you in.
I really want you to beckon me in with a bony finger.
Come, sir. Have a muffin or two.
That's how I'm treating this pod.
So what do you have for lunch then?
Can I ask people in the... Does anyone else get what I'm getting? Do you like listening to David's... Does anyone else get tantalising sort of feelings listening to David eat? Is it just
the
me?
The only reason I said that was just I looked at your eyes and I thought I'd really put you under a spell. Unknowingly hypnotised you.
David something says it's alluring. Is it just me? Is it just me that likes to hear about hot buttered toast?
It's not hot. So Dairy Lee, I would say you're looking at... Dairy Lee is very low on fat, and I think the crumpets I have are very low. I reckon you could have a Dairy Lee crumpet kiss once a day.
David, something else. It makes me hungry. That's exactly it. I'm when I listen to you, I'm thinking of the audience going, oh, listen to that. Oh, Dairy Lee. I've got something to tell you, David. Those Oreo biscuits, they're still in the cupboard.
God.
I haven't even eaten them. We had 2-3 boxes. There's one box left. What was that, 6 weeks ago? 2 months?
That's impressive. So obviously they didn't grab you
no,
to the extent of...
No, it's not that. It's that I can't eat them. you know what?
Well, that's why I don't have them in my, yeah. my flat. I wouldn't. I'd consume them. I'd make myself ill, type of thing. I'd have. I'd just have too much of them, and it would just be like I'd feel icky afterwards. 100%.
Zoe F says, "I bloody love the food chat." Lisa says, "Have a flipping crumpet, David." Me. Justin says, "I loved it. Bloody love the food chat."
It's like Bake Off, isn't it? It's watching people bake cakes and.
Getting involved. What do you yeah, I wouldn't be able to have those Oreos. I mean, that would be a complete disaster. But you can have a crumpet. Dear God, you can have a crumpet with a Derry Lee triangle.
Maybe.
and you're not an overweight man at all. So
I am. Man,
no, you're not at all.
Yeah, I fucking am.
Oh, you don't seem it at all. So I'd say absolutely fine. You can Oreo is a disaster. I completely understand that. I'd have chucked them over my garden fence into my neighbour's garden by now because I'd have probably destroyed myself with the first two boxes. But I think a crumpet and a triangle of Derry Lee, I think, you know, anyone, that's like OAP pigeon food. You can get on board that ship.
Okay, David, so now it's time to review CJ7, is it?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, so if everyone in the...
Shall I quickly say... The negatives,
yeah,
very quickly.
Oh,
the
yeah,
kid
yeah, yeah.
is not likeable. He's very, very bratty. He treats CJ7 quite poorly at times. One time he throws him in the trash and threatens to stab him, which I thought was a bit too much. And also, there's a cultural... Not all the humour makes sense. So, for instance, CJ7 says he'll help him with his exams, and then he just does a poo... defecates. This is an adult show. Let's keep it properly. He defecates into the hand of the child, and the child doesn't know what to do with it. The humour's very bizarre. Also, the CGI is questionable. The head is fine, but the body is very poorly visual effects, not special effects, constructed.
Okay, so if everyone's guessed what they think David's going to give CJ7, I've written down what I think. I'm now questioning whether, but anyway. Okay, David, over to you. How many chuck ices out of five are you going to give CJ7?
Ooh. Oh, there you go.
I said 3.5. 2.5.
Absolutely, 2.5.
The trickster just... said 2.5. So did Jeff Dale. Justin said 2. Dr. Greggles says 2.5. But he's wrong. I think Dr. Greggles likes it.
What would Dr. Greggles give it, like a 4 or a 5?
I don't know.
I mean, the father-son relationship's very good. I think the thing is, I was comparing in my head with other great alien interaction with kid films, you know, like E.T. ultimately, and I just didn't feel that it had that kind of that same weight, really. And also, some of the moments are quite surreal and bizarre,
right?
And I don't know, always the humour chimed with me,
David,
but there were other
Edwards
aspects where I thought the cultural difference was quite fascinating and interesting. There's some, the third act is quite emotionally intense. The creature, I thought the CGI visual effects. That took me out of it. The body was really poor.
Dr. Greggles says he's just a big Stephen Chow fan.
Can't go wrong with that, pal. Can't go wrong, Stephen Chow.
All right, David, thank you so much for this week's movie review.
Not a problem, sir. Not a problem.
Okay, so Mandy hasn't not here because she... Oh, I best not tell you where she is.
Oh, no, please do. I'm a social creature.
Right, her and her fiancé have gone away for the weekend.
What? Where to?
To like one of those sort of private pods in the forest. Like tree houses.
Oh, right. I thought it was like a pod, like they just plugged
just
themselves
somewhere
in
for them
electricity.
To go. I mean, not my words, her words, just somewhere for them to go and have sex.
I can see them right now. They're just going to be either side of the tree because a giant box can't climb up ladders. If I was
no,
an adult,
I'd
thought
said,
that
she
through.
Said they're going, staying in the same to have sex.
But they can't get into a treehouse.
They've yet to have...
But they wouldn't be able to have sex. They'd be having sex out in the open wilderness because they wouldn't be able to get up the tree. And therefore, the police would get involved. Someone rung up and said to them, two boxes are, you know, having intercourse in the middle of the New Forest or wherever she is. Because there's no way. If I was there, I would have brought a JCB or some kind of crane in the full knowledge that she needs to be elevated and placed on top of a tree. But I doubt this Hoover chap that she's now spending, wasting her time with, is going to have that kind of planning skill.
Okay, David, are you ready to...
Just food for thought, that's all.
Are you ready to do the random movie generator?
Yes, 100%.
So this is just... This isn't Mandy. This is just some box that I made.
Blimey, easily replaced. That was a bit toxic. I shouldn't have said that. That's a bit toxic, a bit nasty. Too much. Right. Put the claws away.
Here we go. Let's find you a bloody good... Here we go. Let's find you a bloody good film. Okay. First, the genre of the first film that you might be reviewing next week, David. Over to you.
Stop.
Action.
Ooh, lovely.
And now the decade of that action movie, please.
Stop.
1960s.
Okay.
Generate four action movies from the 1960s, please. Thomas. So Thomas has generated four action movies from the 1960s.
I can tell.
He's spinning them around in his belly, and it's over to you to tell Thomas when to stop spinning.
Stop.
Where Eagles Dare.
Oh, wow, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
And Richard Burton. Good. Yeah, that would be interesting, definitely. I remember watching it with my dad growing up. Lazy Sunday afternoons on BBC Two with carpet commercials in between.
Yeah.
50% off couches.
Okay, let's find the genre of the second movie that you might be reviewing next week.
Stop.
Crime.
Ooh.
And now the decade, please.
Stop.
1960s.
It's going to be a 60s-a-thon.
Okay, Thomas has created... Oh, wow. Four crime movies from the 1960s. He's spinning them around in his...
It's called Thomas's Box.
Yeah.
Who knows? He might replace our lady.
Over to you, David. Tell. Please tell Thomas when to stop spinning.
Stop.
Lolita.
Oh, the Kubrick.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it is a crime, isn't it? So quite right. I was expecting bank robberies, not grooming.
This isn't bad at the moment, is it?
No, absolutely not. I'd be up for Kubrick's Lolita. Oh, give me that one. I've never seen it. I think that's the only Kubrick one I've never seen.
There you go. Okay, right. Let's find the genre of the third movie that you might be reviewing next week.
Stop.
Documentary.
I love a documentary.
And now the decade of this movie, please.
Stop.
2000s.
Lovely.
Okay. Thomas, please generate four documentary movies from the 2000s. Thank you. Thomas has. And it's over to you, David, to tell Thomas when to stop spinning those four documentaries.
Stop.
Bowling for Columbine.
Oh, interesting. Michael Moore, that will be very interesting.
Okay.
I'd be interested in watching that.
Yeah. Okay, David. So... The trickster says, I don't think documentaries should be allowed. Wow, huge.
Oh, that's controversial,
yeah,
sir.
Really controversial.
What's his reasoning for that? Do share us.
Please put it on Patreon, Trickster.
Trickster, yeah, please put it on Patreon, that, yeah.
Okay, so it's Where Eagles Dare, Lolita, Bowling for Columbine. I've given each movie an A, a B, and a C. I've jumbled them up, or have I? It's now, David, up to you, or down to you, to tell me which movie you will be reviewing next week. Is it going to be A, B, or C?
A.
Lolita.
Oh, lovely stuff.
Lolita.
Lolita, Kubrick's Lolita.
How do you feel?
Very interested. I'm more than happy for some Kubrick focused fun, basically.
David, what do you think of this? Dr. Gregor said, I agree, Trickster. Different experience watching a documentary.
But I mean, I don't know if it is to a large extent, because they're still very narrative focused. You know, you've still got the hero's journey. It's still the three acts.
I disagree with them. I'm with you, David.
I'm very much up for a documentary. It's still, you know, and many a director has gone from, right, Michael Moore, he's made, at least one fiction film, isn't it? I mean, the studios are always, you know, they're not going to give a documentary director a big budget, but many a time they move into normal cinema, you know, fiction storytelling, because they know how to sort of convey a character's journey and, narrative structures to the audience.
Alistair Satcher says, wow, extraordinary choice. Yeah, not an great. Easy watch, but Sellers is the business.
Oh, I forgot he's in it. Yes, you're quite right. I'm really looking forward to this. Yeah, Peter Sellers. So it wasn't just Dr. Strangelove that Kubrick did with him. Obviously, it was that as well. It'd be fascinating.
David something else says, ooh, could be a minefield.
Well, politically incorrect, isn't it, I guess? But, I mean, straight away, it's seen as a crime genre. So we're seeing it as a crime.
Thank you so much for today. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was superb.
No, I loved it too. I'm glad that you enjoyed yourself.
Great review. Great to hear you say something other. All the other reviews of Scorsese's movie has been positive.
Oh, 100%. It's going to go down as one of his best. Do you know what I mean?
So were you sat there going, what?
No, I could see that it had massive merit, well-edited, great music, brilliant performances, really interesting social commentary about how it's been, you know, toxically merged into American culture of racism and greed and capitalism. So it's got a lot to say for itself, but just strung out too long for me. It's like a party, isn't it? You've got your best friends, the alcohol's flowing, but it's now 2 o'clock in the morning. You want to go to bed?
Yeah. Well, David, thank you so much for this week's... Sorry, everyone, we can't do a Patreon again. We're having Wi-Fi issues and I had family business early in the morning. But we'll be back next week to do it all again and answer your Patreon questions. And for everyone listening, please subscribe, leave comments,
please,
tell your friends.
Please do. God,
tell
yes, please do.
Tell everyone. Tell everyone, please.
And if you've got, if you've seen any of the films we've watched or you recommend any films, I mean, their film recommendations would be really interesting.
Oh, and we're recording one next week, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Wednesday, we're recording One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Wednesday morning at 11 a.m, everyone. We're recording a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest deep dive, aren't we?
100%. Deep dive into a classic, Milos Forman.
So if you're at work and you can spy on your computer or whatever you're up to, please join us for a lovely deep dive for an hour or so. Thank you, David. Brilliant.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day indeed.
Yeah, and you. Cheers, everyone, and see you on Wednesday.
Absolutely. Cyril salute. Au revoir.
Cyril salute.
Absolutely. We don't usually do that at the end of this. It's usually the end of the Patreon, but we'll do a Cyril salute that we always do. The Patreon extra. There we go.
Actually, what should a mid-morning... This is lunch, isn't it?
It's a brunching... sort of brunch... a brunch bonanza. I don't know what you do. What do you do with a B that's with a hand or something? Brunch bonus. I don't know. You could imagine me working in advertising.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Au revoir. Bye for now. Bye.